When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right,
What is this podcast, Kevin? What's happening?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I guess, this will be casual. Cash chat. I'm just going to roll into it.
That sucks because I'm wearing a suit. So.
Oh, that is nice.
I wish you would have told me beforehand.
I've heard of Canadian tuxedos, but what would you call that you're wearing?
Yeah, it's not Canadian. Northwestern. can't be tuxedo. They can't both be tuxedo,
I would say,
right?
Massachusetts. No, I guess a Montana.
This is an interesting thing to me. And tell me if you've noticed this,
please.
Okay, it's Canadian tuxedo, and we're trying to come up with another one, and we're both wanting to now do alliteration, right?
But it's not, it's not.
But
like
the
that.
First one isn't, and that happens all the time. I think that's
why
a
is
really.
That?
I don't
why
know.
I want to get to the root of this. Forget video games. Forget.
Thank you.
That's just a side note. I know for the listeners that are here that didn't even get an introduction to what this show is, they're really here to try
I
to figure out
either.
No. What is with all this alliteration?
Wait, it wasn't alliterative in the first place.
I don't get it. All right, so Matt, we did it.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
No. Matt, there's a video game podcast.
Well, look,
it's finally people have been asking, why does no one talk about video games on the internet? And we're here.
When you called me,
you said
I got a crazy idea, and I'm thinking like, well, what could this? Well, you said it's an idea for a podcast, and I was like, oh well, what if he maybe wants to talk about movies? Because you told me it was crazy.
Well, I know, and let me tell you, if there's anything crazier than a podcast about video games, it's someone wanting to talk about movies on the internet.
But you said, no, it's not movies. And I go, no? And then I'm like trying to think really crazy, and I'm like, I don't even know what you call it. Like, I thought maybe you'd want to talk about crimes that have happened in real life. And I'm like, that'd be insane. Like,
that would be real crime,
nonfiction crimes. And you said no, it's not that.
No.
And then my head's just spinning. And when you said video games, I was like, is there an audience for that?
And I said, and what did I say to you? I said, I have no idea.
You said not for ours, but could be fun.
I said, hey, look. It's an excuse to talk about video games. A couple of pals palling around. And coincidentally, not using PAL TVs to play the games.
Right, right.
That's the thing.
Well, here's the thing. For me and podcasts in general, I'm supposed to be a cool guy. You know, I'm playing freaking guitars right. all the time.
You're cool on every podcast, right?
Except... Now maybe I'll have a chance to go to say, like, you guys, people don't even know that Evo, The Search for Eden, is the best game. And I never get an opportunity to say that.
Well, now you try. Now, this is the thing. So I listen to Matt's podcast. Now, surprise, Matt has his own podcast, right? And I know what you're thinking. Real Spoilers Patreon, right? Like, yeah. I know about Matt's podcast. Yeah. If you're listening to this, maybe you found us from Real Spoilers. You know Matt has his Patreon over there. No, Matt has an actual musical podcast.
It's a little sideshow. Exactly.
It's a little, you know, something he does as a hobby when he's not doing the main Patreon.
RSP.
Yeah, exactly. So Matt has this other project, and he has these two potential co-hosts, right? One is just gorgeous, and then he's got Courtney on there too. And so he's got it back. Is this on speaker playing throughout the loft?
It doesn't matter. I have to tell her. We're honest about everything.
Do you guys sit down after every podcast and then go over notes?
Here's all the times you came up. Here's what Kevin said about you.
No. I was just joking. It was a funny joke to say, like, I'm thinking Dylan is really pretty and all that. Okay. So
Take it back. Dylan is pretty.
All right. I'm sorry. Do you then have another call with Dylan after the talk with Courtney? Okay. So he's got these two potential co-hosts, both beautiful, both talented, just equally incredible. And they talk on the show about, they talk about music and they have comedians on. And I know, right? Exactly. Tell us how you really feel. But every once in a while, I've noticed this. Matt sprinkles in little video game facts. He talks about a game where he talks about, you know, that thing at the end of an Xbox controller, all that. And his co-hosts his potential co-hosts. Are just going like, what the hell are you talking about? And then one time Matt goes, I remember this press conference where the guy from Sega comes on and says, like, so I'm listening and I'm just hearing these little bits of wisdom sprinkled throughout. And I go, Matt, we can just talk about, like, you don't have to pretend to like cool stuff just to have a podcast. Like, we can talk about this stuff.
The amount of times I've gone, Led Zeppelin rocks, dude,
right?
On that pod, and I'm sick of it.
Right.
I don't know a single Led Zeppelin song.
Oh.
But I know all the songs in the Sonic the Hedgehog OST.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. You know, if I said, what is that song from DuckTales that plays when he's on the moon?
You talk about the moon? I knew it. What else are you going to be talking about?
It's a good song, right? And so if there's another person out there that knows about the moon song from DuckTales, we got to do a podcast. Like, it's just, it's law. It's by right. I don't know. It had to happen.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You were on a video game podcast that was stripped away from you.
I was. It was just I had it in the palm of my hand. I was molding it. I was shaping it. Yep. I was the creative genius behind it. I invented it. Those are lies. But yeah, I was on a gaming podcast. It was called The Games We Love, and it went through a couple of iterations. I was not on the first iteration, the alpha iteration, as we refer to it now. It was on the beta. Now, that has nothing to do with my status and relationships. It's a programming term. It's a sequence of alpha, beta, you know. So just let's get that straight. So I was on the second iteration of this podcast. It was myself, it was Aaron White, the actual real creator of the games we love, and Brad Hyen, who you may know,
the murderer of
the game podcast.
Yes,
is that how we refer to a podcast that's ended? Is murdered? Okay.
Most podcasting terms are true crime terms. I think
that's real. Wait a minute, what's that? I thought it was called real crime.
What did I say? Nonfiction crime shows. Yeah, yes. Okay.
I mean, if you're going to make up terminology, let's keep it video game related, right? Let's cash in on that video game. You know, so anyway, and then Brad Hyen, who you know from a guest on Real Spoilers podcast, we did a show called Show Spoilers back in the day where we talked about Game of Thrones and Mr. Robot. And, you know, it hasn't been on for a few years, but you know Brad if he came from the Real Spoilers area. Anyway, so we did the gaming podcast. Honestly, it just is a lot of work, and we were all juggling work and life and other podcasts and stuff. And it got too hard to be able to commit to doing it on a regular basis. It was fun. The episodes are still out there. It's great. But that kind of turned into, can we retroactively say a backdoor pilot, or the idea kind of sprang from, the reason the show is called Circle of Wizards comes from episode, I've got it pulled up here, episode B9. I don't know what the B stands for. We're not going to. No. Episode B9, that's all it's called.
Beta cuck.
The episode is called Thanks for Wasting My Time, Wizards. And there's a story on the podcast. We were going back and playing different games. What we were doing is like, what are you playing? And we tried to play the same game most of the times. And then we'd also be going back and playing older stuff, catching up, whatever. And I decided I'm going to go through all the Final Fantasy games, the original ones, like NES that I grew up on. I bought the... Did you ever end up buying it? Like the collection on Steam? The
I didn't do it. I need... This is another thing. Even for my own hobbies that I love, if I'm not making content out of it, there's a very right. good chance it won't happen, you know?
It's a good excuse, though, right? Like, yes. It's like, you're like, I can't get to that video game backlog, but it's like, well, I got a podcast.
Have
like,
to.
Like, I got to play the games. Like, I'm sorry. It's
And it is, that. Look, it's how you end up watching all of the Police Academy movies.
Oh, man. What a great episode.
Binge movies. I guess I'll just say it.
I think we should, right? Like, if the thing is, Matt and I do a lot of different podcast appearances here and there. And so, you know, you probably know us because now we're famous and you're going back and listening. Like, where did it all begin, right?
Yeah.
Like, episode 300 of Circle Wizards. And it's like, I'm going to go back and listen to that first one. And now we're talking about movies and these things. Like, people don't know us from that, right?
And they'll go like, oh, wow, Matt was on binge movies before Jason went to jail. That's awesome. That's so cool.
Oh, man. You know, walking in the footsteps of Ernest, he said, I just want to be like my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but anyway, well, back to the podcasting. So go listen to that. It's episode 9 of the second iteration of The Games We Love. It's on the website. It's on the podcatchers. You can still listen to it. But I'm going back and playing Final Fantasy, and I'm playing this thing for hours. I'm making good progress, and I get stumped. I think it was like over an hour going around the entire world map because I'm like, what do I do next? I know I got it. It was the part where if you guys have played Final Fantasy, you have to get a canoe to cross a certain river to get into, I think, a cave or a town or something. It's the Crescent Lake City is the area this is in. And so you talk to these wizards. They're sages technically in the game, but for our purpose, and since the whole podcast is based on
that's our first review. Kevin said they were wizards, but
so that's the fun of it. And you'll hear it on the episode, like, I call them wizards, you know, like they look like wizards. They can do magic. I don't know. They're wizards, but you talk to the circle of sages and, there's maybe what, 9, 10 of them. They're all in a circle. And I start at the bottom left corner and I work my way around clockwise. And I tell the story. It's way more fresh on that podcast, but you know, I talked to one, he's like, hey, lovely weather we're having. And you go to the next one. And he's like, oh, look at this town over here. It's, you know, go over there next to the trees. And, you know, I'm going around to each one. I go to 8 or 9 of them, and I'm like, these guys are wasting my time.
It's flavor text. It doesn't mean nothing.
It's such a waste of my time. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I leave the circle. I travel around the map for over an hour, going to each place, each castle, each town. I can't figure it out. I go back to the circle of wizards and talk to the 9th or the 10th wizard, the last one that I didn't talk to. He's the one that says, go get the canoe, and sends me on my way. So,
and this, hey, this guy don't use no guides, you know?
Oh, never. This guy's
pure.
It is one of the things, and I'm not trying to be like an elite whatever, but like, I really hate looking up walkthroughs and guides. I really do. I'm like, I want to try to do it on my own if I can.
Well, that's interesting.
That's a good topic.
So, I do think there is a sort of language of video games, right? Like, and that I think would be an example of, to, I guess, what you call an early video game where some of that wasn't maybe established yet.
Right.
And that I would call poor.
User experience, like you would say, yes, on a website or something.
I would say that is on them. That was bad. But you don't know that. I was playing some puzzle game. I thought about, you tell me if this is a dumb idea, and if it is, just cut it right out.
Well, first of all, Matt, there are no dumb ideas, so go on.
Thank you.
They say that, but like, I've heard some dumb ideas, right?
I've heard
like
a lot of dumb ideas.
Okay, good.
I think what people should say is, you should bring up the dumb idea, because maybe that will lead us to a good idea.
There you go.
But that's still a dumb idea.
You know what? And that's a really catchy phrase.
Yeah, right. Rolls off the tongue.
Instead of saying there are no dumb ideas,
also, I want to jump back. Circle of Sages, that's alliterative. It's not as good. Circle of Wizards is better.
That's interesting. Is that still because one's a C and one's an S, but does that count as alliteration?
I believe it's the consonant sound that matters.
Well, you are nothing if not the consonant professional.
Consonant, that's very funny. So I think that is on that game, but... I got to jump back through 100 things.
Please.
One thing I was thinking was I could start going through my Steam library alphabetically and just playing a little bit of each one.
Do you have Steam pulled up right now?
No.
Keep talking, but pull it up. I want to jump into a different tangent before we get done explaining the title, so keep going.
I was playing this puzzle game. It's very cute. But that was it. Bubble Bobble. No, I don't remember what it was.
The little dinosaurs or whatever. The little dragons that shoot the... Bust a Move. Bust a Move is the little dragons, right?
Bubble Bobble's got dragons.
Does it?
And then there's the sequel where they're humans or something.
Oh, you're right there. Okay, Bubble Bobble has the little dragons. But is Bust a Move a knockoff? Because that's a game, right?
Bust a Move is a game. That might be the sequel. Or no, what the sequel's when we're shooting
little
rainbows.
Okay, hold on. If I type in Bust a Move puzzle game into Bing, right? Because we Bing now to get our points.
You got
to
get your points, your Microsoft points.
If you're a gamer, use Bing instead of Google, and they'll give you free Xbox gift cards every 9 years when you get enough points.
Yep.
So if I type in Bust a Move puzzle game to Bing, what comes up? The Wikipedia listing for Puzzle Bobble, which looks just like the art for Bubble Bobble. So they've got to be related, right?
Sounds like it.
Puzzle Bobble.
I agree with you.
Puzzle Bobble, internationally known as Bust a Move.
Okay. It's all coming together.
It's a 1994 title matching puzzle arcade game. Okay, go on. You were playing a
puzzle game. Lumino City was the game I was playing because I'm kind of just... I've been hopping around my Steam library trying to be like, Matt, you have... there's like 645 games in here. And to be clear, just
if anyone wants to search this game, it's not Luminosity. It's called Lumino City.
Yes.
Okay.
Beautiful game. A little... It's for children, I think. The puzzle, okay. The level of puzzles. It looks like it's for kids, but I thought maybe that's just a cute aesthetic. I like a cute aesthetic.
I like it, yeah.
It's very paper craft, kind of.
Do you play Donut County?
I did play Donut County.
Okay. I mean, I had kind of a unique... Untitled Goose Game.
I haven't played that yet.
It's so good. That's a funny one too. I think you'd enjoy the humor.
So Lumino City, it's a little too like easy. You can kind of just click around until you figure it out. It's a little puzzle game, but that is a game where like I don't know if stuck is even the right word, but you know I'm figuring out the puzzle. Yeah. And if you'd looked it up, you would have taken away all the value that the game is providing, right?
Sure.
That is the game, is to figure out the puzzle. But in your instance,
I just needed to go to the puzzle.
Yeah, like there's like, nothing to that. And it's very like obtuse and, obtuse, I guess, is like Zelda 2, right? Ducking down by the wall for, what is it, like 10 seconds or something? It's a long time.
But let me ask you, Matt, real quick, though, to your point, do you think because I'm playing this Final Fantasy game from the 80s on NES, or that's where I originally played it, and then I'm playing this, you know, game that was made back then, do you think because games were so scarce, you had such few games, that like you were just clamoring to click on everything and talk to everyone? Like back then in the 80s, would you have never thought about not talking to every sage, every wizard?
I don't know. Let me tell you, little gaming history of me. The first overhead perspective RPG I had was Dragon Warrior.
Okay, sure.
That I got for free with a Nintendo Power subscription.
Wait a minute. They gave away a game with it?
So Dragon Warrior, I believe, was selling very poorly.
Okay.
Because
I had that one on NES too, but I didn't play it as much as Final Fantasy.
And I couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand leveling up. I didn't like that you weren't attacking things, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that cities were really small, but then you touched them and then you're in the city. And it was just kind of a lot of like, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know where to go. And that made me think I hate RPGs and turn-based fighting. And I didn't play any of those. I never played Final Fantasy until... I've never played a Final Fantasy.
Wait, I'm
at the point in my life where I would.
Hold on.
I've never played
one. Hold on. Because we talked about before getting the collection like I did on Steam and all that.
And I want to do that. I want to do that.
But I presumed that like you were going back like me and playing them. Uh-uh. You've never...
No.
Not 7, not none of the PlayStation ones. You played Final Fantasy Tactics?
No.
Nothing. Chocobo Racing. Chocobo Racing.
Might have touched it. Had some Final Fantasy friends, but... you know how that goes. You write something off too early in your life. And I like turn-based combat now. I don't know what it was. Actually, you know what? I played Earthbound.
Yeah.
Because the aesthetic that I liked that modern, I thought that was a neat twist. And that's when I started to go, well, maybe this turn-based stuff is okay. But by that time, you're into Super Nintendo.
Right. The old stuff is...
Go back.
It's funny. So I had a similar experience with Final Fantasy. So like I said, I started playing Final Fantasy on the NES. It was one of my favorite games. I think of it very nostalgically now. But back then, I played it until I got to a certain point. So you leave the main castle, the main town, and you go on the quest because I think the princess has been captured or put to sleep by an evil monster or whatever, whoever the first boss is. It's been like a year since I played it again. But you go to the next area, and as you're walking around, if you know Final Fantasy, it's very much you're walking through the woods. It's the random generated, like Pokemon. If you play Pokemon, Final Fantasy is the same. I guess the old ones, if I don't know if the new ones are the same. But, you know, you step into a bush and randomly a thing will jump out at you. So I'm going through there. I'm fighting the enemies. It starts off with like, here's one orc. Here's two orcs. You know, just very easy enemies. I always played as the warrior. I think I just liked the red. You know, there's like four characters you can choose. I liked the way the warrior looked.
He looks like a main character.
He does. He's like, that's the guy that would be on the cover.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's like, you can pick four, but it's like, yeah, the warrior. So I'm slashing with my little sword or whatever you have when you start out. Honestly, you may have nothing, but I'm just hitting the guys. Okay, one orc, two orc, it's fine. I get up to the castle where the enemies are, and I think there's some skeleton monsters and ghosts or whatever, and I would always get to the point where I would get to the boss of the castle, the very first actual boss you face, and I would die, and I would get so disheartened. I would quit for, you know, and then I'd pick it up again as a kid and play it, and I'd get there, and I could never beat the boss. So this is before these RPGs are widespread, right? It's like one of the first of its kind. I don't know how these games work. I didn't know you could equip armor and weapons.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just literally fighting, and it says I'm leveling up, right? I'm like, I'm getting better, but I could never beat the boss no matter how I did it, and it frustrated me so bad. I played it when I got older, and I'm like, oh my God, you can equip things to make your character better. I just didn't know.
There's a ton of games that in my mind, I'm like, oh, I loved that game. I played that all the time. And then I'll go back and find out I never beat the first level.
Right.
What did I do in this game?
And you're playing it wrong. You didn't know. Yeah. And I know if you're listening to this now and you're probably listening to this as an adult and you're like, that guy's so stupid or whatever. Granted, I was a kid playing this on the original NES. I'm not saying I was 20 and didn't know how to equip items, but like I was a kid, and you have to remember this was in the early 90s. I was playing this game. There weren't 20 Final Fantasy games. There weren't Dragon Warrior and whatever, Monster Hunter.
Even there weren't 20 other RPGs.
Exactly.
This is like the one game of its kind that you could get a hold of.
Yeah, so I didn't know, and we didn't have the internet. And granted, I mean, I think at some point I did borrow, and I just looked at it. I never used it, actually. I liked looking at all the pictures of the monsters. There was like a black strategy guide for Final Fantasy. I remember exactly what it looks like. And it had like a whole bunch of like blue backgrounds with the monsters, and it would have their hit points and like their power levels and all that stuff. And I just liked to look at it as a kid. But anyway, the point is, like, I never got that book and read from page one and was like, okay, now make sure that you equip your character with the best armor. Like, I, you know, I was a kid. I popped in Mario. I jumped around. And so it was just like one of those things that I didn't know how to play an RPG. So it wasn't until many years later, even though I thought fondly about the game because I did like it and it was fun for me to play. But like you said, I played it as, I don't know, a teenager or something. And I'm like, I never beat this first boss in this castle. Like, I, you know, and at that point, I think I maybe went back to it. Now, I could be wrong, but I may have gone back to it after I played Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, which is my favorite on PlayStation. I may have gone back to it after. And then I'm like, of course, I got armor, I got weapons. But
right.
I had that revelation where I was like, oh my God, I was playing this game completely wrong.
Well, that's the thing, too. I think. Because you know, people would say, well, it's in the instruction book. Why didn't you read it? But when we first got a Nintendo, which is weird to think about because it was like a family thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad played Nintendo with us, which my dad was younger than I am now at the time. So I don't know why it's weird to think about him playing video games. But like,
well, would you call it a family computer?
No, I'd call it a Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, okay. It was an entertainment. I'm sorry. That's silly of me to think. Okay, go ahead.
But we had played some arcade games. We never had an Atari or anything, so this was the first in-home console.
Yeah.
And we definitely read instruction book. You know, it's hard to express today
what instruction book is.
Just like what getting a video game was like. Like, you kind of have to imagine, like, this literally, for most people, a lot of people, was the first video game you could play in your house. You don't know what to expect. You know what might be the closest thing is like when you got a Wii and you're kind of going like, well, how does this work? How do I do this?
It's new and exciting and you don't exactly,
when you got an Xbox 360, you're jumping right in. There's no like...
You know what an Xbox is. You know what a PlayStation is. But you're right. And NES was my first, too. I mean, I have video from when I was 2 years old playing. Literally, I was two playing Super Mario, the first one. And I'm, you know, jumping around and, you know, dying a lot. But, you know, I could get the hang of it.
I just digitized a bunch of home video. And it's really, and there's a video of me playing.
That's awesome.
Ice Climber and Super Mario.
Nice.
And it's very funny to see. You can hear my dad getting frustrated with me because I'm like running into Goombas to hear the sound effect.
Oh, that's funny.
And you're just playing it in a different way. But we read through the whole instruction booklet, and that's how we would do it. We'd like read the booklet and then go play it. We remembered that mushrooms were a power up, and we'd get the mushrooms. And I don't, when we would get a flower, we would just go, that one's just a flower. And move on. And we remembered like, the mushroom is, and we might have even grabbed it a couple times and you turn colors, but we didn't equate that to like powering up more. I think maybe we thought you would get even bigger with another mushroom.
Isn't that interesting? And that's for people that are younger playing this. And like, I mean, I'm in my 30s. You're still in your 30s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like we're not that old, but still, the people listening—if you're in your 20s, if you're, you know, if you're a teen, whatever—you're just not going to understand that the language of video games was so new at that point. Like, you jump into it, right? Especially people that were born with iPads and born with multiple consoles at home and all that stuff. You grow up in it, and the language exists. Like, you learn to speak English. You're around people playing video games, so this stuff all just makes sense. But back then, we were figuring out, how does this work? And like you said, I mean, you get a mushroom, but if you get another mushroom, you get points. You don't get bigger again, you get points. And if you get a flower, you get the firepower. If you get another one, you get points. And, you know, we were trying to figure all this stuff out and as a young kid.
And we never would have thought, I'm sure we knew how to run. But, you know, you play Mario now, you're holding that B button
right
the whole time. You
don't
never let go
off
of it.
Right, exactly.
But we pressed one button at a time, you know? Yeah. You just didn't think about doing it a different way, which I'll tell you now, people complain about tutorials in video games.
Oh, yeah, playing the first mission.
And I get it. Yeah. They can be annoying, but man, to turn on a game like Final Fantasy, and it's just like,
throws you into it.
Good luck. I mean, they assume you have the booklet, but
right. But as a kid, and you know what? Honestly, I may not have had the booklet. Like, I think I got it from my uncle. My uncle bought it.
Oh, totally. You trade games with kids at school, or yeah. You rent a game, and they did you ever go to the places where they would make their own instructions? So, like, they would type up an instruction page so they could.
Oh,
just,
like Blockbuster would give you the.
Yeah.
Their own little cheat sheet or whatever.
Right. And it wasn't like a scanned.
No.
Photocopied version. They made their own. So yeah. That's like secondhand information, or they're kind of deciding what's important and what. It was right. Just one piece of paper. They were never going to make like a full, you know, guide.
Strategy guide.
Yeah.
Hi. So, when I'm at Schnucks, I go and I get my eggs, my milk, and then I stop by for my Schnucks brand strategy guide for Final Fantasy.
I rented a lot of games at Schnucks.
People don't understand, and I know that we're going to sound like lunatics. You used to rent video games from the grocery store.
Yeah.
Shop and Save, which doesn't exist anymore. Schnucks, Dierbergs, they had video rental places. That's where you got your VHSs and your Nintendo games.
It's so wild, too, that they all had different selections.
Yeah.
And you'd go to different places to, I mean, I'd make, when, you know, when I'm like 17, have a car now, yeah. I'd do the rounds, you know, see who's got what. Go to Village Video, go to Rogers.
Those are the good old days, man. I loved going to, so Schnucks was the closest. I could ride my bike to Schnucks. So it was the closest video store I had. I can remember the little, now if you go to a Dierbergs or a Schnucks, they all have like a little like, waiting room, or not a wait, like a lunch. It looks like a lunch room. It's like got glass walls, and there's tables, and customers can go and they could buy something from the deli and eat it in there. Employees can take breaks in there, but it's just like a little waiting area. And I think most of those, if it's from an older building, were converted from the video store. And so you had the security thing, because everything had to be like deactivated, so you couldn't just steal games out. They all had their little security devices on them. But I remember walking in, you had like the customer service counter. That's where you'd buy concert tickets, right? There was no internet.
Yes.
So you would go and you'd buy your concert tickets. You'd buy your Six Flags tickets, and then you would and Powerballs or whatever, if the adults would. And then you would round the corner into the little security thing, and you'd go to the video store. And it was just a long aisle that stretched the length of, you know, maybe half of the grocery store. And you had all your VHS tapes, and you had a little section for video games. And I just loved it so much. I loved what I would find there. I'd love the previously viewed stuff you could buy. That was a great way to get discounted movies and sometimes games. And would love talking to the people at the counter and say, hey, did you get anything new in? And, you know, that goes into the whole thing with the video store. But my little early experience of the video store was the grocery store, and it's something that people would never even think of today.
Did you do the little hack of checking the returns? You know, like what, like they would you'd put them in a slot or whatever, return them, and they would check them back in, but they'd set them like on an area of the counter before they went to go put them back on the shelf.
Yeah, you'd always look. So yeah, the drop boxes, there would be like a little padded box that you would return your stuff in so that it hopefully wouldn't be late. Like with streaming, obviously, the convenience, and there are no late fees. I mean, all that great stuff. But we used to be charged if we brought something back late, and then they'd take them out of the box and they'd put them like on the counter or whatever as they were organizing them. And yeah, you'd always go and you'd look behind the counter and what do they have in? And for video games especially, you know, there were so few selections and so few copies that it'd be really hard to find
and
that new game you wanted.
When a new game came out, you had to be on top of your game.
You had to
get in
someone.
There.
I see what you did there. You had to know someone. You had to get there early. You know, if they even got it on, like, I don't remember release days when I was a kid. Like, that doesn't even compute.
I don't think
to me.
I knew about it.
Right?
Really.
Like, I wouldn't. Yeah. Like, I wasn't like when NES and SNES, I didn't go, Bugs Bunny and Tasmanian Devil on SNES or whatever. Like, there was no like, oh, that comes out on June whatever.
Yeah,
I literally went to the store, looked at what they had, and I was like, oh, a new game I've never seen. That was kind of it's just a different time.
Oh,
man.
Hey guys, I don't think every app's gonna be a nostalgic trip down memory lane, but it's all I remember the first time it was Village Video, and I wanted to get Bonk's Adventure.
Oh, there you go.
And the guy explaining that that's not for NES. What was Bonk? TurboGrafx?
Sounds familiar. I didn't play that one, but it sounds familiar.
They did eventually. There was an SNES Bonk. Maybe an NES Bonk, too. I'm not sure.
I remember the cat. Wasn't there a cat called, like, Bazooka Tomcat or Bobcat or something like that? What was the cat?
Yes. Yeah, that's something. There was a cat.
There's a cat. An orange cat called something like that. But anyway.
But the guy happened to tell me that that doesn't work on NES, and I'm like, what do you mean? It's a video game. I can play video games at home.
Oh, Busby. Bubsy is what I'm thinking of.
But not Bubsy, because Bubsy's...
No, not... I'm just saying, I was thinking of Bubsy.
You were thinking of Bubsy?
It's a cat that's the name starts with a B. I don't know.
But I thought you meant a TurboGrafx.
Oh, no.
Bubsy's an icon.
Hold on, I'm going to search Bonk's TurboGrafx. Let's see.
He's a little caveman. Well,
he's
caveman 3. With a big old head.
Bonk 3. Did you play the whole trilogy?
I didn't play any of them. I played the one on Super Nintendo on an emulator many years later.
But you never got it, is what you're saying.
I never had a Turbo. I think we were... I'll run you through it.
TurboGrafx 16. Bonk's Adventure was the first game starring Bonk and was released for the TurboGrafx 16 in 1989.
We went... here's my chronology of systems. NES, SNES, did get that Sega Gen.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation. PlayStation 2. Went Xbox.
Oh.
I rolled the dice on Halo.
Plural.
Went all in on Halo.
Okay.
Never had an N64.
Oh.
Which is strange. I don't know how that happened.
How could you grow up in this time with the love of games and not get
right.
an N64?
I think maybe...
Were you being cool, Matt? Were you too cool for N64?
No.
No?
I was never cool. Oh. No. It might have maybe it was one of my dips in gaming. You know, over your life you get some dips. I tell you right now, if we're gonna get in talking about it,
I'm in a bit of a dip.
I'm in a bit of a dip. That's kind of why I'm going through.
Is this why you're doing this?
Currently right now I hate video games and I
none of them are fun.
You're supposed to bring back my love of video games.
I saw the twinkle in your eye and the smile when you talked about the video store, so I think it's already starting right now. This is the beginning of something.
I went Xbox 360. I did get a PlayStation 3.
Nice.
And
cell processor, $600 Blu-ray player.
Oh, no. I got it much later.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Yes.
I camped out at CompUSA for my PS3. And got the $600. Because here's the thing. At the time, right, I go, Blu-ray player.
Blu-ray player.
Okay, this is the deal, right? And again, kids, people, you'll never understand. And I'm not trying to say you're dumb or anything. It's just a different time.
Glad you'll never understand.
Yeah. And it's for the better, for sure. But right now, if you had to go buy a Blu-ray player, which 90% of people, 99% of people in existence, maybe 90% of people listening will never want to do or need to do. If you had to go buy a Blu-ray player, they're like $30 at Target right now.
They're trash. You could probably walk into a Best Buy and be like, is it cool if I take this? And they're like, it's fine. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not kidding, Blu-ray players, 3D Blu-ray players, it doesn't matter. You can get a Blu-ray player
for my 3D TV.
For that too. I know you're an early adopter. You can get a Blu-ray player at Goodwill for cheaper than a VCR.
Oh, sure. Totally.
All day long, Matt. If you want to go get a Blu-ray player at Goodwill, they are $6. They are $8. Yep. They are $12. Goodwill is selling VCRs for $18, for $20, for $24. People, for physical media, people are nostalgic like we are for stuff, and they're buying VHS tapes and all that, and they got to have a VCR, which break a lot more. And so you want a Blu-ray player, they're handing them out like candy.
I've been buying VHS video cameras and shooting a lot of stuff in VHS and all that.
When you're pretending to be a cool musician guy.
Yeah, right. When I got
I feel so bad. It's got to be hard, man.
Terrible. But VHS cameras are more expensive than early digital video cameras, you know?
Right, because those things are garbage. Like, and 320 by 240 recording on a diskette or whatever. Awful. Like, you can't, what are you going to do with that?
It's so weird, too, that you can't really emulate VHS. There's filters and stuff that do a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think I bought a couple for Premiere. They're okay.
But, you know, there's a difference in the real thing. It's never quite exactly like the real thing.
Tracking, the flickering, the everything.
And there's something to, like, when you make a VHS filter, you're making a very specific player, right? Like,
right.
Every VHS player and camera has its own quirks and stuff. So it's kind of neat to be shooting on them and you just get what you get, right?
Right.
But, like, early digital cameras...
And you don't throw a fit.
Thank you.
I just wanted to...
Digital cameras, you can just make it look like that in Premiere. There's no... That is what it is. It's just...
Right.
Bad digital footage. And it's interesting
it's
to have a whole...
right? Like, the older you get of the early digital cameras, it's a very low resolution. You can't upscale that. It's not going to look good. If you upconvert it, you're still going to get like a wavy, blurry look to it. Whereas film cameras or VHS cameras even, it was... low quality, but it still had more like a film feel with like the noise, right?
You can take your 4K, you know, downscale it. Is that what I say? And it will look exactly like those bad digital cameras. So there's like this whole era of cameras that are now worthless,
right
in the middle of camera technology.
There's
and
no place for those.
Interesting.
Unless you want to play your old floppy disks, like literally, and again, something will sound insane for the younger crowd, and I don't know if any youngsters are going to listen to this or not, but there were cameras, you'd put a floppy disk, or you know, like a 3.5 or 3.25, floppy disk in the side of a camera, and then when you weren't doing that, they were really cool because they had CDs, mini CDs, and then they got really cool because you weren't putting a mini CD in. You were putting a mini DVD in the side of it.
Damn.
So moving parts, a disc is spinning with a laser engraving
data. Stupid. Like really dumb.
But it's the only way they could store stuff. So you're moving around with your camera and there's a moving laser etching the data onto it. And then they finally got to memory cards where like a 256 megabyte card $300.
Yes. And then I got an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4. And then I think
before we go, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the point of the DVD player story
is
I camped out for the PlayStation 3.
Yes.
It was a lot of money, $600 at retail. But the reason was Blu-ray players, the cheapest Blu-ray player, $600. I was a movie guy. Like, I've always loved movies, video games and movies, if you can't tell and haven't listened to the other podcasts and all that. So it was like, well, I'm a gamer. I love games. This is the new movie technology. Sony invented it, and so they have the rights to it and everything. So I could either get a $600 Blu-ray player or a $600 Blu-ray player and state-of-the-art gaming machine. It's a no-brainer.
Or a $300 Blu-ray player and a $300 gaming machine.
Right.
You can break it down any way you want.
Any way you slice it. Hey, I got that Blu-ray player and I got a free gaming machine with it. What do you know?
Yeah.
And so I think what I would tell people, because people would ask my opinion on these things and the tech or whatever at the time, and, you know, the internet wasn't huge, so they had a hard time just, you know, researching whatever. And I would tell people, well, were you going to get a Blu-ray player? I think I was maybe working at Circuit City when PS3 was still out, and I would say, why would you buy a Blu-ray player for $600 when you can get a Blu-ray player and a gaming machine that maybe you or your kids or something will use? And I would always tell people, buy the PS3.
Which, again, right, what a strange era. That's sort of the shift from video game consoles are completely toys. Because I feel like I know a lot of people who started using their PlayStation as a DVD player in a way that, like, it was the home DVD player. You know, like, their dad was putting DVDs into the PlayStation.
PS2, that was the huge thing about it, is it was a DVD player, and really, I think, helped propel that system was their capability.
Ooh, Xbox, you had to get the little
remote, it was like a dongle, little, and it was a kit that you could, yeah.
I had it because I didn't get a PS2. But then I got Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and I think I'm done with consoles. I think I'm a PC guy pretty exclusively. I have a Switch, but
I have one too. Is yours like mine? It sits in a drawer, never turned on.
Yeah, played Mario Odyssey, played some of Zelda. I couldn't really get into it.
You didn't like Breath of the Wild?
Not really. No.
Those guys, Brad, talking to the guys on the other podcast, they weren't, Brad at least was not a huge fan of Breath of the Wild. I was surprised.
I'll try it again. I think what I need to do is just play the game. Because I'm trying to be like, I'm exploring and I'm looking around. And I don't think there's anything out there for me.
Let's talk about this. So I brought it up on, you know, that old news podcast, that old gaming podcast, but exactly. We don't
want to hear about her.
We don't talk
Kevin.
About her. So I brought this up, and this is an interesting conversation I like to have with people, and it's one of the reasons. And Matt, maybe you're like this. Maybe this is why you're not as into gaming. We're adults. We have lives. We have work. We have relationships. All this stuff, right? And we fit in gaming when we can. But when I want to play a game, I want to open every drawer. I want to open every door. I want to read every script. I want to, and I don't have the time for that. And so I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, maybe I just need to play the game.
I've been thinking a lot about, because there is a weird thing. Now as far as aging, I'm not a guy that cares that much. I'm 38. I don't give a shit, right? Like, I think people are very embarrassed about their age, or they're like, oh, I'm older, I have to stop doing certain things or whatever.
Yeah, same. And that's an older turn of thought too, though. I'm not saying no one our age does that, but like, I'm 36 this month, so I'm very similar age. I don't care. And I play games and watch shows, you know, that I'm not like, oh, I can't watch a cartoon. Like, whatever.
Oh no. Did I forget what I was saying?
No, you don't care about age.
Don't care about age. Doesn't bother me. I don't think you got a chance of doing things. But like, I do. There's a time factor, certainly, in your life, and that seems to get harder. I do recently. I sit down to play a game, and I feel immense guilt
that you're not getting something done.
I could be doing something more productive, and I'm at a point in my life where there is kind of always something I could do.
100%. Like, there's never something with work or with my hobbies. We're in the same boat.
One of my favorite things about playing shows out of town or going on small tours or whatever is that it's one of the only times in my life where I'll be out in the world, be alive, I guess. Yeah. And I can't do anything. There's no, there's nothing productive I could get done. You know, I'm in a different city. None of my stuff is here. And it's like one of the only times I can go, well, cool, I'll just chill.
Now, listeners, now Matt, put your earmuffs on for a second, all right? I don't want you to hear this part, okay? Don't tell Matt about laptops. Don't do it. He needs that break in his life. And I really don't want him to have to take his productivity on the road. So please do not write in about... Oh, hey, hey! Do not write in about laptops. Okay. Hey, Matt, you can listen again. Hey.
And there's just no way to do it. There's absolutely nothing
possible.
So I'm trying to think now, because right now I'm in a very, like I said, I'm in a very a big old gaming slump, and I'm trying to be like, what even is it about games that I like? Like, what am I trying to get out of a video game, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's different layers of things and different things I want at different times. Right now, one of the only games that I can play and kind of feel okay about is Red Dead 2.
Okay.
And Red Dead 2 is a game that is, in my opinion, or the way I play it, it's just immersive. It's not a very good game as far as, like, it's not hard, and it's not, like, it's not really challenging at all.
Live in that world.
I'm out there pretending to be a cowboy. I'm doing things like, if I don't feel like Arthur would ransack this house, I don't do it, you know?
That's a good question. So do you play, what do they call it, like White Knight? Do you play good or bad?
I'm always very good. I can't do it.
I'm the same way. I can't be a bad guy. Like, if you play Fable, your character is like a saint.
Yes. And I have gone, I used to do both playthroughs, which now... I can't do it. Right. I'll watch a video of the end on YouTube, the bad ending or something.
Just
but
to
I just
find
don't
out, yeah.
Have the time to do it. But there was a shift where I did have the time to do that, you know, and I'd start a Mass Effect 2 bad guy, and I would just go, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't mean anything. I don't care. These are just, you know, they're fake people, but
this is
I can't
a character
be
you
to.
Created that would not exist had you not created it. So like the stakes are nothing. You
yes.
literally invented this person to make these decisions, but it just feels icky. I don't know.
Yeah. I always thought a weird thing. Did you play Saints Row 4?
I think I own them all because I bought them like when they were yeah. cheap. I'm not a Saints Row like fanatic. I didn't buy them new. I bought the new one new because my son wanted to play it. I think he played it once and stopped. So that was a great set. Yeah, and it's probably $10 now. I bought it for $70 or whatever. But I've dabbled. I've played them, so, but I wouldn't know the story or.
I love Saints Row because of the customization. I'm a huge. If you can't, I've tweeted this probably 100 times. If you can't change your clothes in a game, what is the point of making that game? And if you can create a character and then there's no way to cut your hair in the game after you've done that, I understand not changing your face shape, but you better let me cut my hair.
That's
my character goes through things where maybe their hair grew, they let it go for a while, or. Sometimes what'll happen after a big mission, they have an emotional breakdown. They shave their head.
Why
anyway.
Isn't there real-time hair growth in games? Why is there not a character
Red
where you
Dead
start
too.
Out? Does his hair grow
yeah.
in the game if you don't cut it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well,
it's the best.
Sidebar. Now, I don't like to get into tangents. It's something I try to never do. And
I've
I
noticed
promise
that about
it'll
you.
Probably, it'll probably never happen in this show. So
I'm
this
writing
is the
down
one...
Saints Row 4 so I can come back.
This is the one time I'm going to... So I started playing Red Dead 2. I thought it looked great, whatever. You know, I got it day one. I was just so bored with the story. I quit and I never went back
oh,
to it.
Oh, yeah.
It, I
hell
just,
yeah. It's boring so, as hell, dude.
Okay, so anyway, back to, I love the idea, the mechanics, Rockstar, they make good games, but
did
man.
Did you get out of the snow?
I got out of the snow and I got to
that's
a
when
town.
It starts. Yeah,
yeah
that's
I just, I don't know. I couldn't get into it. The story I sure. thought was so long. But anyway, please
So Saints Row 4... You are in a simulation. Your character is in a simulated version of that city because an alien puts you in there.
And that's not the president one, right? Is that the third one?
That is the president one.
Oh, it is the president one. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's just a weird... It's a weird disconnect. When I'm playing Grand Theft Auto and I'm killing civilians or whatever, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I can't believe I've done this.
Yeah.
But now in Saints Row 4,
oh, it's a simulation.
You're playing a game where your character is in a simulation, and that's like, well, these people aren't even real.
the simulation fake video game characters are not real.
They're not real. But sometimes they are.
I know. But
one level deep, that's real. Two levels deep, that's fine. Kill
I like
them all
it,
you
though.
Want.
You know what? Because as society, right? Like, it's a domino effect.
Yeah. You draw your line somewhere.
And you gotta those.
And currently mine is one level deep.
A simulation,
yeah, whatever, yeah.
A simulation within a simulation. That's just like whatever. That's fine. So, you know, this is like Ant-Man Quantumania, right? I mean, although being really small is not the same as being simulation, but it's a similar quandary.
So that's a game I like, right? That I am just being the guy out in the world. The other
what
game
about
I
games
like
Cyberpunk where you can like change their wieners?
Well, there was a bug where you would, when you took all your clothes off, you'd be wearing boxers still. So that was the one bug that game had, and that ruined it for me.
That's a game-breaking bug right there.
So the other kind of game that I realize I like is, I think Elden Ring is one of these games that is just a game. Now, I know there's a story and people love the lore of Elden Ring, but like on the
surface...
George
R. R. Martin, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's what they say, but it seems like any other FromSoft game. I don't really... but like that game is mainly just a mechanics. It is Dig Dug, or right? Or like an old NES game. Like it has that vibe of like, all I'm doing is trying to like overcome this mechanical challenge.
Right.
And I like those games and I like puzzle games. What has frustrated me recently, I think a lot, I was playing Control, right?
Okay. Love that game.
I was loving it. I was loving
Control.
I'm
loving the story.
And I'm reading all of the little pickups, which is hard to do in games, you know, because sometimes they get a little... You're playing like Oblivion or something, and it's like this full book on Argonian cooking or something.
Right,
and you're like,
it's
okay. Actually, I think a thing in games that they could do better is like identifying what is just... This world would have books, so here's a book. And like, this is... lore and world building in the text, right? Because sometimes it just seems like it's world building that this book exists.
Yeah.
And other times it's like, here's history of the world. Anyway.
Do you think that in games you should be able to pick up any book and it's a full book?
I do think that, but I think they should put a little star by the ones that are fun to read.
So you can just read like 600 pages on just a random book that's on a desk, and then next to it's another full novel.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want. What happened in Control, I'm all in on the story. It's great.
Oh, it's cool.
What's the... And I'll probably go back to it, I hope. I hope this podcast will do that for me.
I hope
but
so.
But then I got to a part, and this lady, she's like, you gotta go down to the control room.
Did she say control? Okay.
No, we'll back up, because that's not... No. You gotta go down to engineering. That's where the switch is, right? Oh, okay, cool. So I'm going there. And then there's someone outside of the engineering room, and they're like, the door is opened with electronic locks, but the power station is cut off in these three points. And if we can open those three conduits, then we can get to the power station and turn on the power for the door. And it just feels like it's going, by the way, I'm a video game.
Yeah.
Like I am out of the world completely. And it just like, cause Control is a game where I just want the story to keep going.
I know. And that's what got me. I mean, I enjoyed the gameplay and I thought it was really cool once I got the combat figured out and all that. But man, what I was doing after I beat that game was for hours reading theories and things I didn't pick up, you know, all the little Easter eggs and all this. I mean, the lore is what really gets you into that game.
Yeah, and so I think a lot of games try to do a mix in a way that... Because if Control... And I know they're trying to like sort of lengthen the game to make it feel worth the price, right? I don't think it's always... I know some games add padding in bad ways, right? I think... I feel like Control...
I do not like games that just send you on little... errands like that. They're just nonsensical. Yeah.
Control to me felt like it was just, it wasn't doing a like, hey, we'll make them feel like they got their money. It was just like, this is a game. It needs to be the song. This is fun. You'll get to use the combat and stuff. But for me, it was just like, you know what it's like? It's like a musical. And when I'm watching a musical
and
a song starts, I feel like we're just pausing the movie for 3 minutes. And that's those kind of missions feel like. It's like,
see, I feel like they're pausing to talk in between.
Cool. So yeah, man, I don't know. I'm just trying to like, maybe get out of my own way a little bit in that stuff and just be like, dude, just, it's going to take 20 minutes of having fun. You're having fun. You like shooting things with your little powers. So just enjoy it.
I will say for Control in general, if you have time to play it, if you have time to do the puzzles and get through it again, which I don't know. I mean, obviously there is no time. You have to make it, right? Like we said, there's always something you can do. But if you feel like that would be a way to relax and be entertained, that story is so good and the lore is so good. And there's a sequel coming out. So I think you should play it. Funny story about Control with me. I shouldn't say I'd never played it. When it came out, I tried it. I think I rented it. And it was so clunky. I was playing on a PS4.
I played on, I guess, Xbox One.
Okay, so you played, same kind of thing.
Dude,
so
the pause menu would take, I think, I think it would take literally like 3 seconds to pop up, which saying 3 seconds doesn't sound that long, but it's a game where you're checking your map a lot.
Yeah.
And very annoying.
It's a very... I guess, processor intensive game. There's a lot of physics and particles and a lot of stuff to it. And so like the game was just too big for a PS4. Like, I mean, technically you could buy it and you could put the disc in if you still did that kind of thing and play the game, but it was so laggy and so slow and felt so clunky. I gave up on it. I did not give it a second chance. I played the first level where you're, you know, you just get to the agency or wherever you're in, you're running around trying to figure out what's going on. And it was so clunky, I gave up. So then years later, it might be a year or two, whatever later, I'm doing this podcast and Aaron and Brad are talking about this game's so great, controls amazing. And I'm like, I could never get into it. And Brad had told me after I quit, he was still playing it and he really liked it. And I'm like, I don't get what you guys see in this. So I go back and I play it and I think I'm playing it on either, I guess at this point, yeah, this is just recent. So I had PS5 and I had Xbox One, Xbox Series X. And so I actually bought it for Series X because I've been playing that more recently just because of Game Pass and all the free games I'm getting. I say free. We brought this up for, like, I have the subscription, so I don't have to pay additional for the games. Yeah. They're included.
I love sidebars and I love getting off on tangents.
Oh, perfect.
What is the library on Xbox compared to PC? Like, is there a lot more stuff on Xbox?
No, it's not a ton. I think what you get is the 360 games. So you get a couple. There's like Ninja Gaiden, like the Xbox, you know, when they made a 3D Ninja Gaiden game. There's like that and a couple other originals.
I think those must have got ported to PC because Ninja Gaiden games are on there. Why would I say that? I know what your point is, right? I hate that kind of thing.
Well, actually, do you have glasses, Matt? Because you may need to push them up with a scotch.
Yeah, like you were just giving... You didn't even say it like definitely. You're like, I think like the Ninja Gaiden games are one of them. And I'm like, no, they're not. Like, okay, well, so, doesn't refute my point at all.
There's a handful of original Xbox, and there's several dozen of the 360 games that work really well, no problems. They're great. Like they're not remastered, or you know, they play just like a 360. And I think that's really the advantage you get. Most everything else that's new comes out where you can play on PC and Xbox, which is great. So I'm a huge proponent of Game Pass. I didn't go through mine, but I've owned almost every system. I mean, since I was a kid, NES on, video games have been a huge part of my life. And
Did you have an Ouya? You feel like a guy that might have had an Ouya.
Had an Ouya.
Hell yeah.
Have an Ouya. Have the box still. I will never get rid of it. Whatever.
Wanted one. I just didn't. That was a point in my life where, what were they, like a 200? Or
yeah.
Any and extra all the money games was like, I better not.
Free, but then
I want to get that Amico. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, and I did not pick up the Atari. What was the new Atari? That's like basically a Pi. It's like just a mini PC.
Right.
They discontinued them. They went from like 500 down to 300 on their site, and I never followed. I was gonna get one if they were like 200 or 100 or whatever. But anyway. So I had all the PlayStations, and I've been a PlayStation guy for a long time. I swore by my PS3, and then because PS3 was so hard to develop for, and I'm guessing if gamers are listening to this, they know the story. I'm not going to go into detail, but PS3 uses that Cell processor that no one knew how to program for. And so games started being buggy. And my friend at the time, Chris, he said, you know, he was a 360 guy, and he says, oh, everything runs perfect on 360. And so there was a period in time where I switched from PlayStation to 360, even though I was a PlayStation guy, because I would play games like Guitar Hero, you know, when that was a big deal, and it would lag and the notes wouldn't hit right. And I'm like, it's not me. Like, literally, it's like, it won't work. And then I got the 360 version. It was perfect. So just an example, but tons of stuff was buggy on PS3. So I switched to 360 for a while, and then my friend said, oh, PlayStation's better now, and then PS4 was great, and I went back. But in this generation, I love my PS5. I love the DualSense controller and all the features it has. I think it's great with the triggers that you can, you know, press halfway down or whatever, the resistance and everything.
Is it correct that they are implementing more of that stuff on the PC port, that they're getting the triggers to work?
Yeah, so they just released support on PC for the DualSense, which is like what would be the DualShock 5. It's now called the DualSense. Why, if you're listening to this, you know that. But anyway, they released support on the DualSense because they're starting, Sony's putting their games on PC. So you've got God of War Horizon Zero Dawn. I don't know if Forbidden West is out yet. And then The Last of Us is the big one that I think this month or next month comes out.
Yeah.
And so they now support DualSense. And so hopefully you'll see more games supporting that.
Because I have used, I like that
it's
idea.
It's a great controller.
I like the idea. Yeah.
It's a great controller. So I miss that because I go to Xbox and I'm like, what did Xbox Series X, or you can use it on PC, you probably do. What did their controller do between Xbox One and Xbox Series X? They literally added some texture to the back. I mean, it's great. The texture's good. I like it. But they didn't do anything. They didn't innovate.
Yeah.
And DualSense is a huge innovation, whether it be like, you know, the colors that it changes on the thing and the touchpad, or the like you said, the adaptive triggers with the resistance. So they innovated and they kind of won me over with that. I like the PlayStation exclusives are really good. But I'll tell you what, Game Pass, you know, I got in early and I was able to do the deal where you get like 2 or 3 years for half price
because
you convert your gold or whatever. Aaron is actually the one that helped me do that. So it's running
out. It
was weird. It was.
It's one of those things where I know it's probably not that complicated, but you ever do a thing where you're like, I didn't understand reading through it the first time, didn't get it the second time, and you kind of go, well, I'll mess this up. I think I'm done trying to figure this out.
Absolutely. So I did that whole deal, and I think it just ran out, and I renewed for a year or whatever. But anyway, so I had it for a while. I had Game Pass for a long time, and it was a discount. Now I have to buy it at, you know, full price or a little discount, and I get like a discounted card or whatever. You can find them out. They're out there.
Yeah.
20, 30% off. But it's worth every penny of that $15 a month. I'm telling you, if you have to buy Xbox Game Pass for $15 a month, which will give you access to PC games and Xbox, you get,
if you like video games, which right now I don't.
Well, that's the thing. You have to like video games, so it may not apply to you.
Right.
But if you like video games, $15 a month gets you new $60 and $70 video games. It gets you indie games you would never think of paying $20 or $30 because it's a crapshoot, right? You're like, I've never heard of this developer.
Totally.
Could be amazing, could be nothing. But like, you don't have the money to risk unless someone says, hey, this is amazing. And your time, right? We talked about having limited time. I can't just justify buying $30, $40, $70 games to then play them once and be like, I don't have the time to play this. Xbox Game Pass.
I haven't started it up yet, but that Atomic Heart, by all means, looks like a game I won't enjoy that much.
It's good. I like it a lot, and I hate to say it. Like, okay, last three games I've played, and sorry to get off on this tangent, but I did want to ask you about this. Last three games I've played, Atomic Heart, made by a Russian studio. I mean, it's Russian. Hogwarts Legacy. I don't have to go into it's Hogwarts Legacy. And then before that, High on Life.
Okay. Wow.
So it's like,
What a guy.
It's like I'm just trying to play video games. I don't know. I don't pick them because of the, you know.
Yikes.
But I know. So we're getting to a point in time where I'm sure you notice this online with movies, TV, people you like or whatever. Everyone's canceled now. So it's very hard to navigate the waters. But anyway, the point is High on Life was a $60 game. Didn't have to buy it. Didn't have to support Rick and Morty over there, right? So I played it. It's free. I already have the subscription. They're not making another penny because I played it. So whatever, you know, but I got to play it. I did enjoy it until the game-breaking bug that got me stuck on the last mission. And I spent hours, literally hours, trying to get past it. And then I went on Reddit, and people for the last month and a half have been talking about this bug. So, like, you just can't beat High on Life. That just, it's ridiculous. So,
oh man, and that's it. That's the end of it, right? I mean, like,
but yeah, it's really hard.
And unless they patch that and you can hop right back in. But I've played games where I hit a bug, you know, far enough in, like 8 hours in or something, and it's like, oh, I'd have to start over. And you're just kind of like, well, I'm never going to play this ever again.
I'll tell you the last one I can remember, you know, previous to this situation, Resident Evil 5. And I think I was playing it on, maybe I was playing it on PlayStation. I think I was PS4 at that time. My save corrupted. Like, I was several hours into Resident Evil 5. My save corrupts. I have to start over.
Yeah.
No, not interested. I don't want to play it again. I don't have the time. I mean, granted, maybe I had a little bit more time back then, but still, like, I've got other things I want to do. I'm not sitting through the same game again. I'm not a big, like, you know, play the same game 10 times over, especially with the length of a lot of these games. And no, so, you know,
I don't know that I've ever, I mean, I've done it. I used to play through Metal Gears a bunch. That was a weird outlier.
I love
I had to get
those
bandanas.
Talk about story though, man. I send me down the rabbit hole of 10 hour YouTube videos about this fox, this, and
can I tell you another, this is a thing about like pre-internet, living your life pre-internet.
Yeah.
I never had any issue playing as Raiden, and I thought it was cool. I liked being tricked.
I did, but I mean, obviously everyone has come around on it now. Everyone loves it and it's fine now, but okay, Metal Gear Solid.
Part of the point, right? To be a little bit like, well, when am I going to be Snake again? Like, they're intentionally disappointing you. I didn't think
it was the time. It was a betrayal of my trust, Matt. It was.
I know. Here's, trust me, I didn't have any kind of like, oh, this is a cool story thing they're doing in a subversion. I was just like, this guy seems cool too, I guess.
Call me Snake. I don't know if he says that, but
he talks like that for a while.
But I mean, but that's, you know, that's what he's based on. So it's just like,
you guys see his little naked butt.
Where do you see his naked butt?
He gets captured, and you're doing the, you can do your little cartwheels, but he's still covering his little pecker.
But so Solid Snake is such a cool character. That first game, I think. Oh man, it's a toss up because I've kind of gone back and forth in recent years, but PlayStation 1, I think greatest games for that system and some of the greatest games of all time. Castlevania Symphony of the Night,
sure,
is pure masterpiece, love it to pieces, and Metal Gear Solid. That Metal Gear Solid game is so good. You had Metal Gear VR missions, like Solid
That's
Snake.
That's a game I had to, I rented it and we played it, me and a friend, and I was just like, this is bad. This sucks. I can't
even
do this.
The repetitive VR missions.
No. Just Metal Gear Solid. And then I.
Oh no.
So I rented it when it came. I didn't know anything about it. It was that kind of thing. There's a new game on the shelf.
Right.
You look at the back. This guy's got guns. Cool.
And it was before, right? You can't go like, hey, there's 12 Metal Gear Solid games. Like, we know what
totally,
Metal Gear Solid
right.
is. You rented it, going, oh, cool. Look at that bandana.
So then a Game Pro came out or something, and. Or maybe we were internet a little bit at the time, I guess.
Yeah.
But everyone's talking
about it. You were
GeoCities. And I'm just like, what is everybody talking about with this game? Rented it again. And then I went, oh, it's different. This game's different than other games.
Yeah.
And I was trying to play it
like another game.
Other game. I'm going around killing everybody trying to shoot. I'm like, I don't even have a gun. What am I supposed to do?
He thought, this is Crash Bandicoot. This is not Crash Bandicoot.
And that was one of the first times in gaming, I think, where I was like, oh, cool. You can do it different.
Stealth,
and
right?
It's cool. Yeah.
I can't think of, I mean, unless you count like Metal Gear games on NES, but those were more action-oriented.
And I almost wouldn't, because even
so
the MSX
different.
Games, you are doing stealth, but it's like a puzzle game, right?
So
it doesn't feel the same at all.
But yeah, and I was going to say, so... I know I was interneting a little bit. Do you remember? Well, you never played Final Fantasy. Dang.
Right.
So for people that know Final Fantasy, and Final Fantasy VII, I believe, God, now I'm having trouble. It's been so many years, but there was a card game. You know how like The Witcher has Gwent?
Right.
So Final Fantasy had Triple Triad, was a card game within the game. I had a GeoCities website that I ran with a friend I made at Funko Land. His name was AJ, and it was called Triple Triad Help.com, TripleTriadStrategy.com, and we just like posted stuff about the game Triple Triad.
I would have went with alliteration there. I would have found a T for that, I think.
Triple Triad Tips.
It's right there.
Right?
It's right there.
I was trying to be like the Canadian tuxedo, though.
Gotcha.
See, that's where the real...
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, it was at GeoCities. Remember website counters?
Big deal. Huge deal.
Refresh. Oh, the number
That's
went up.
That's what you wanted.
The number went up. We used to show how many people went to a site on the... Wow. Anyway, so okay, Metal Gear Solid, masterpiece. Love that story. So you came around on it? You like them now? Or
oh,
what?
Okay. Yes. The second time I rented it, and I'm very glad I did, it became one of my faves of all time.
Okay, so if I were to list top five games or game franchises, like I'm just off the top of my head here. So Metal Gear Solid...
Sure, yes.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Wouldn't love make it. My top, but I love it.
Right. I love it so much. Dead Cells. Have you played Dead Cells?
Yeah, it's okay. Whoa, wait. I'm thinking of a different game. What's Dead Cells? That's Overhead?
No. Dead Cells is Metroidvania. It's a procedurally generated. So each time you do the level, you die, and then it's a different rooms, different positions.
I've never played this.
I'm thinking, so good.
What's the one where you're on a spaceship? It's kind of cel-shaded.
Returnal?
Roguelike.
Yeah, it's a roguelike. Spaceship.
You're a prisoner, and you get like... Everyone was really into it for a second.
Dead Cells is in a prison, but it's not a space.
This is a first-person game.
Oh, no. Returnal is the one on PS5 where you play as Gwendolyn Christie is in space, and it's first person.
I don't remember.
Now, the other guys, after I love Dead Cells, I love Hades, and the other guys got me to play Rogue Legacy, which is the game that started.
Rogue Legacy.
And I loved it. Dead Cells is...
What's the rest of the five? That's three, right? I gotta know.
All right. Anyway.
I'm dying.
The whole point, Matt, all I was going to say is Dead Cells has a Castlevania DLC that just came out. That's all I'm going to say.
I saw that.
So, I mean, I love Castlevania. I love Dead Cells.
You got two more.
I got three. Dead Cells was, I guess Dead Cells can be in it. That wasn't in it. I love Dead Cells.
That wasn't even in it? You got three more?
Dead Cells has the DLC.
Whoa.
It's not, Dead Cells is like top 10.
I'm on the edge of my freak. Okay.
Okay. Let's do a recap, Matt.
We need to.
Metal Gear Solid, the first one, and we'll say the franchise, but like that
say
first
the franchise.
One.
We can see the franchise.
Yeah.
Because top lists are stupid, right? Yeah. Like things shift around anyway.
Yeah. Lists are dumb. I list, if I make a movie list or a game list, it's like these are games that I love. I'm not going, right. This is the best ever of all time. That's dumb. All right. So I love Metal Gear Solid. I love Castlevania Symphony of the Night in particular. Masterpiece. Great game. Bioshock, the series, specifically Bioshock Infinite, but I love Bioshock. Love the story. The story's so good in those games. What do you got? Is it going to be some crossover?
No.
Okay.
Right. Bioshock Infinite is one of the worst pairings of gameplay and story to me ever.
I was going to say that was one of the best. When you talked about this earlier, I was going to say Bioshock Infinite has one of the most compelling, most intriguing stories with a great twist and a great story and a mind-bending. Right.
We're on the same page.
And I love Bioshock for gameplay. I cannot believe it. That's like one of my favorites of all time.
Here's my issue. I'm Booker, right? I got to get to this place. We got to get there. What's her name? Lady. I don't know.
Yeah. Elizabeth,
we got to go.
That's how you can tell. I don't remember stuff like that, but it's a good game. Elizabeth.
But let me walk around the room with my shoulder pressed against the wall, digging through the trash before we go to the next room. And it killed the game because you have to do it. You have to do it in every room because there's like an ammo scarcity thing and like there are things you need to pick up in each room, right? Like,
but why? Okay. Why is that any different from any other survival game where you have to find ammo and items and stuff? You won't like Atomic Heart then. I'm telling you what. Atomic Heart is like the biggest scavenger hunt with a... Atomic Heart is Bioshock Infinite X Fallout. Like, that's what the game is. And you spend more time opening drawers and finding parts to craft things than the story. But what's the, like...
Because, like, a Fallout... And I have a lot of problems with Fallout. I don't like Fallout that much. But you're in a post-apocalyptic world. You are scavenging... I just feel like
in Bioshock Infinite, you're in future, like post-apocalyptic steampunk. Like, it's incredible.
I'm digging through the trash to get apples. It just doesn't seem right. It just doesn't make sense.
Elizabeth will throw you an apple if you need it.
Well, and then I think gameplay wise, they should have made that where you don't have to do, because like Red Dead, you don't have to look. You don't have to do that. You can do it.
But you can buy stuff in Red Dead.
But you can buy stuff and you have it's enough different. Money. You actually have too much money. That actually is a problem I have with the game. You have too much money. But there's really no...
It's a problem. I hate that problem. That's I get it.
There's no gameplay reason other than if you want to look through every single drawer. And I just wish BioShock would have done something. I don't love the story in BioShock. I think it would make a decent movie. And I feel like
I love the story, man.
I feel like it just could have been here's my deal. This is stupid. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. I feel like Metal Gear.
Let's just am I in game 3 of 5? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Okay, keep going. I hope that other people are on this wavelength because I don't.
What this is an introduction.
This is,
and this is the best way to get to know us. And trust me, guys, we are gonna. Oh, we're gonna have freaking
topics,
segments, topics,
guests.
I'm gonna go. did you play? Well, never mind. That's not on topic. And then we'll just forget it. But okay. Metal Gear's story is so cool because it cannot be a movie. You can make a Metal Gear movie, but that story.
It's the guy that did. Is it Adam Wingard? Who's the guy that is doing? Like, there's someone making one. Oscar Isaac was attached. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to do any justice to that story in 2 hours. I don't.
I think you just have to do something different, or like, I mean, not that that's what they'll do, but or
part has to be like a trilogy or something. You know, for one story, yeah.
But like, I think to me a good video game story. What makes it a good video game story is that it uses that medium to tell a particular type of story that you couldn't tell outside of that. I feel like Infinite could have just. You could have just made it a movie. There's not a whole lot of reason that it had to be a video game, which doesn't mean it's a bad story.
Yeah.
I just wasn't like totally blown away by it. And then also I don't think Booker should look through trash cans.
I mean, if we're going to get in the nitty gritty, maybe this would be a good topic for another episode. Game mechanics that you hate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. So I think that was game 3. We're going to have to go back to the beginning, Matt. We're going to have to, cause it was 20 minutes ago. Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid. And the thing about Metal Gear Solid to me.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night. BioShock Infinite.
BioShock Infinite.
And BioShock the series, but I love Infinite. Okay. Love the story. All three of them, though. I agree second is kind of, well, maybe you won't agree with me, but I think the second is kind of the weakest story. I still really love the underwater world and all. Yeah,
But I like the first one.
I went back and finished it. I stopped it for a long period of time and then went back when I got the BioShock Collection remastered, and then I beat the second one. But I love the world. I love the underwater world. BioShock Infinite had a DLC where you could go back to the underwater. It was really cool.
I heard it's very good.
It is good. Okay. So Far Cry. Not Far Cry 1 and 2. I mean, they're fine, but they're in that serious Sam, you know, you're on a beach, it's pretty, but whatever. Far Cry 3 is where it sucked me in with the story. I love the story of the kids going on vacation, they're playing Crashlands or whatever, and then there's they're on the island with the bad guys. You know, you have
the
Voss,
bad guys,
Michael Mando plays the bad guy and all that stuff. Loved the story. Thought it was
that's
super
so funny
fun.
Because he plays a bad guy.
Yeah.
But he's so good. He's the good one. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's the one that sticks with you. you fight him pretty early, right?
Some point.
He's
yeah.
Out of the story pretty quick. But
he's great.
He's the good one. He's the good villain in the game.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a really good story. I really enjoy the gameplay mechanics. Beautiful, at the time, and it still looks great, but, you know, graphics are awesome. I really enjoyed Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 5. 6 has another Breaking Bad alum. It's got Giancarlo Esposito as the bad guy, and I think it's more of a me problem. I just haven't had time. I love the Far Cry games, and I think he makes a great villain in all the movies. I just haven't gotten through it. 5 was really good, though. I don't know if you played 5, but that's the one where you have the cult.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good story. Joseph is the cult leader, and he's got his kids, and they're all the villains you have to fight, and it's creepy, and it's crazy. So really good game.
I played a little bit. I liked the stealth in 3. That was the way I played 3, and they have seemed to pull back on the stealth.
Yeah.
In every iteration. is more about like you can get 100 rockets on your backpack.
I'll tell you, I kind of lost interest in the Just Cause series for the same reason.
Yeah, sure.
Love Just Cause 3. I thought it was so cool. And the fun of that is the explosiveness and the craziness. But Just Cause 4, I couldn't really get into the story. And I know they just kind of lost me. I think I got bored because they didn't really change from the same chaotic stuff. Another great game that chaos related. Not on my list, Matt. I want to just exclude this.
I understand.
Dead Rising.
Oh.
Those games are so fun. Arcade, dude, zombie, crashing. Oh.
I have that. That's not on your list?
It's not. Well, it's close, but
I've just gotten into, for some reason, when I'm printing shirts, I print shirts. One of the things I can't really watch movies very well. There's a little too much like focusing on doing things. So long-form YouTube video game breakdowns. I'm talking like 3-4 hour long videos about Dead Rising 1, right?
Yeah.
And I've been watching those, and that's a fun series kind of to watch people talk about the downfall of, because they get worse. Like 3 and 4 are start to lose their way pretty hard. But yeah. I love Dead Rising 1, man. We heard a demo was coming out on the 360, and would check every morning. I don't know why they didn't say when it was coming out, but I knew it was coming out. And I got up at like 6 in the morning, 5, 6 in the morning to play it. Man, memories.
I'll tell you what, though. See, I mean, I like them all, but Dead Rising 3 and 4 are my jam because the weapon... Okay, first of all, a mall.
Oh, I'm...
mall. You got it?
Yeah.
Favorite zombie movie?
Because 4 is back at a mall, right?
Yeah. Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
Favorite zombie movie. Yeah. I love the idea of free reign in a mall. Go to the stores, get the different stuff. 4 is so good. You got the graphics. You know, you can get 1,000 zombies on the screen at a time or whatever. Yeah. Just the way that you can stack the weapons and build the vehicles and attach the tractor to the car or whatever and shoot rockets and plow. You know, and I would go and try to chain together thousands and thousands of kills for the streak and everything. 4 is so fun. So, like, now, that's one of my favorite arcade-y type games.
This is good. I'm learning our differences, and that's important.
Yeah.
For a podcast, what's the word I want? Relationship.
Oh. We're taking this to the next level.
I don't like the combo weapons. I think it gets away from like I'm using whatever I have at my disposal. I'm picking up a frying pan. I'm picking up this. And then you would find like a sword in the sword store and be like, oh, cool. Now I have like a real weapon. This feels better. Okay. I liked them a little bit more when it was clearly you're just taking one thing and sticking it to another thing, like in 2. But when they got too much, like I'm taking a teddy bear and a lighter, and then that's making this machine gun I crawl inside of and drive around or whatever. It just got too silly. Is not the word, because I think it should be a silly game.
It's arcade. It's supposed to be, right?
What's number five? We'll do a Dead Rising retrospective. We'll play through them all.
Okay, perfect. Borderlands, the Borderlands franchise. I love it. I love the humor. I love the looter shooter aspect and leveling weapons up. I think the writing, especially in the first two games, I like the third one just fine. I like the spinoff, the Handsome Jack Chronicles or whatever. Mm-hmm. I like them all. I like the mechanics they added to that spinoff one, to where you could like anti-gravity and stuff. I started playing Tiny Tina's. I haven't finished it. I still enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as the others, but I did appreciate the like strategy D&D type, you know, jokes and everything. But I love those games. And yeah.
Okay.
It's 5. And obviously there's so many other franchises I love, Final Fantasy, all that stuff, but those are my 5 that I really could go back to at any time and pick up and have a good time.
If I had to say right now.
Now, did you want me to interject after each one? Okay, cool.
Yes, absolutely. I'll put Metal Gear in there. I don't think there's a Metal Gear game I don't like to some degree.
Did you get into Snake Eater in the jungle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know people love it, and I've played it since I first kind of picked it up and dismissed it. I don't know. I just couldn't get into that one as much, but I need to revisit it.
I think so. I think it also does get a little more... it feels weird at the beginning, and then it starts to get a little more like, oh, this is a Metal Gear. Like,
that's the thing. I couldn't get out of the jungle. The first playthrough,
yes, yeah.
I couldn't get out of the jungle. I'm like, is the entire game going to different scenes? Like, you know, and you do the cutscene of going to the different part of the
sure.
jungle. I'm like, I can't. This is not a fun game. I finally got out of that jungle because I got mm-hmm. it. I wanted to play it in HD, and I think it was before they had released the 360 remastered whatever. So I got it on PS Vita, I want to say. So
sure,
I was able to
yeah.
actually play it in HD, and you could actually hook it up to the TV if you have the PlayStation TV. I'm telling you, I get the weird systems. And so I revisited on that and got out of the jungle, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of a Metal
yeah.
Gear. Yeah.
XCOM.
Never played one.
XCOM 2 might be the most time played in a game, other than like a World of Warcraft or Halo or some multiplayer thing. XCOM 2, love it. Love it.
Okay, I bought either on sale or one of those giveaways, or like I do Humble Bundle, whatever. I think I've got all the games. Let me look. Is it a Steam game?
Yeah. And yeah. That is a game I've been looking for something like it, and okay. nothing gives me what that... So here's the thing. You get a squad of random people, right? But you can okay. rename them. Very Oregon Trail style, right? Kevin Brackett is yeah. in the current game I'm running. I believe he's a sniper.
Oh, okay.
And they'll die, and there's permadeath, right? Oh. So if Kevin Brackett dies, he's dead. But it also does a good job of like, so people will say that Three Houses, what's that game called? Switch, Nintendo, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them in Smash now. They're all the sword guys in Smash.
Sword guys.
Not Kingdom Hearts. Not at all Kingdom. No.
Sword. I don't play Smash. I hate Smash. That might not win me any
fans. The subtitle is Three Houses. They just came out with a new one. Fire Emblem.
Okay. Aaron loves Fire Emblem and all that. I've never played.
So here's my problem with Fire Emblem. It is squad based or like tactics sort of combat.
Okay.
And there is permadeath, but they're story people, right? Like you talk to them. So in that kind of a game.
So it changes the story if they die?
Yeah. I mean, I think they have like their own personal stories, and maybe it changes little aspects.
Okay.
But like, I can't let that happen. You know what I mean? Like, if it's going to affect the story and I'm going to get a worse ending or something, I can't let this scripted character
right.
die. But yeah. a Kevin Brackett that I have created, that is the story then. If he dies, and that's a story that like I'm sort of writing, and they don't do anything really with that. Like, it's all what you're kind of making up as you go. And it just does a really good job of like letting that happen. There might be, I don't really look at the numbers of individual people, but like you'll start to be like, now Kevin, he's a great sniper, but freaking Joe can't hit nothing. I can't believe
this guy.
They actually
give little stats, you think?
They do have starting stats, but I don't know how they affect. You know how that is. Like, once you level up, a point here or there doesn't really matter.
Right.
And I think it probably is like that, but it feels like you've got better people, and it's great. It's great. I love it. And yeah, there was a Gears of War tactics that just didn't, because you've got these named characters that I can't let die, or maybe there is no permadeath, or like I need another game like that. And then they did that Marvel Midnight Suns for Axis.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews on that one. I haven't played it.
I want to play it because it's the guys that did XCOM, but like, that's totally not what I want at all.
But you're
like,
not they're gonna be Wolverine and stuff. You're not gonna give a random character powers.
And there is no permadeath, but again, like if it was like, oh, Spider-Man died on that mission, the end, I'd be like, well, no, I guess I gotta reload.
Right.
But I'll let Kevin die.
Oh no! I thought the whole point of that story was you would never.
I'm trying. I'm sending him way out front.
He's just too good of a sniper. You don't put a sniper on the front lines. You're definitely going to get me killed.
Well, that's two. I guess I might put the Dark Souls games in a top. I've spent a lot of time with them.
Okay, I played Bloodborne the most of those type of games. I've never really gotten too much into the Souls.
They're very much on that, like, this is a game, right? Like, this is just, and I like that. I appreciate that. Maybe I'd have to put Red Dead in there. I've just spent a lot of time with it. I'm also having some, I guess, what you'd call recency bias. I'm trying to think of older games.
Well, that's why this is a fluid list. This is off the top of our heads, you know, like a 10-second answer. I mean, this is just a real quick
Because also, I'm saying, just breezing through this.
Yeah, this is just a... Yeah.
Also, I'm saying games I've spent the most time with, but like, thrill of the fight on the on the Quest, the Oculus Quest. It's a boxing game, and it's
Is it really
awesome.
Good?
It's so good.
I have a Quest, and the game I played the most, I think I even sent you footage from it, is Resident Evil 4 VR.
Like,
it is incredible. I'll tell you what, for VR, I don't know if the listeners, if you've never used VR or whatever, the Quest 2 is really good. It's a great machine for a few $100. It does a really great job.
I'm playing on the original.
And the original?
And
I
think
original
it's
too.
Fine.
It's good. Like, yeah, they're very similar.
If you can find one cheap.
You can get pre-owned on Mercari or something for like $100 because the Quest, they raised the prices because old Zuck got in some trouble losing several hundred billion dollars over there. So they had to raise the prices. But, well, those original systems, that's the thing. The original system doesn't play Resident Evil 4. That's why I had to get the new one. But with that being said, maybe you can get a pre-owned one of that. The Quest 3 is coming out. But Resident Evil 4 VR is incredible. It is not just, oh, hey, look, it's a gimmick, and oh, you can look around, it's 3D. Right. Like, you feel like you are in that Resident Evil game, and you carry the gun on the side, you have a first aid spray on your shoulder, and you reach and you grab stuff, you take the gun out, and you release the magazine, you grab a new magazine and put it in. Like, you are immersed into the world in a way that I've used VR for a long time. I've got the HTC Vive. I've had that since it came out. I've got the Oculus Rift.
I don't know anymore.
The computer one. Like, I've been an early adopter, and VR has really blown me away. I have PlayStation VR, but the Quest 2 and this Resident Evil 4 VR, I mean, that is... It's the most impressive VR game I've seen. You know, VR games to me for most of the time have been like mini games. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. There's amazing VR games out there.
They're tech demos, a lot
of them. But they're like, hey, this is VR. What do you call it? Like Gorn. They're like waves.
Wave-based, yes.
Yeah, okay, we can throw these enemies at you. Do it until you can't do it anymore. Start over. Beat Saber, play a song, right? But like Resident Evil 4 is a full AAA story with fully... recreated for the VR world, and so it really, you know, with the cutscenes and everything, and it's been the greatest VR experience so far. And I mean, if you can play that one, I'm sorry, Matt, hopefully you will someday.
I got that 4080, baby. I'll plug that thing right
in. PC, there you go. But anyway, it's great.
Thrill of the fight, it's a boxing game. It's a workout. I use it for exercise. And it's intense. Like, you can't knock the people out if you don't punch hard, or you can't win. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of boxing things in VR, even like Gorn, right? You don't really have to swing your stuff that hard to win. You can just sort of waggle around. But Thrill of the Fight is... That's great, man. It looks like shit, but it's it's good. And then I-5... I don't know, man. Like Super Mario World? I love Super Mario World.
That's the hard one, man, because
I
would
get a 96 exits on that. They had a one of those SNES minis across the street at this bar where we'd go eat all the time, and I was getting the 96 exits on every save file, and I did it on two of them, and I was in the third one, and somebody spilled a beer on it, and it broke. I just wanted to see a save file with
all three,
all of them.
Oh my gosh! So that's a tough one, because I almost, when I was like fishing for that fifth one, I almost said Super Mario, because I mean, those were my first games. Those on NES, I started playing Super Mario. You know, Super Mario 2 is whatever. You know, that's what it is. It's not really a Mario. I mean, it's fun, but it's
don't
just not
you
a,
say it.
It's
don't
not
you
a,
say it. They reskinned
Doki Doki Panic.
It's
Doki
a Mario Panic. Game.
Yeah. Okay.
The Shy Guys are still around.
Yeah, it's part of the lore. You've got Eggbert or whatever. It's fine.
Birdo. Good grief.
Female. She's got a bow. She's a female. Some people don't know that.
Right? What was trans in the original booklet?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe preferred to be called a woman is what it said in the booklet.
Well, there you go. Okay, fine.
I don't know if they would have been as I think maybe that was supposed to be funny.
Oh, you're saying it wasn't progressive in the...
I don't think so at the time, but...
Okay,
but that is what it says.
Or whatever. Okay. But Mario 3, I think, is a masterpiece that is for the NES. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest games.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest Mario games. Super Mario World, of course. I mean, that's just, it's brilliant. It's amazing. It's a great way to take it to the next step. And then I never really got into, I played 64. I mean, I know you didn't have one, so you probably didn't play it a ton, but it played it. It was whatever. It was fine. It was a cool tech demo, if you will. And obviously at the time, I mean, you know, when Banjo-Kazooie and Conker's Bad Fur Day, these platformers were all the rage and they were cool. I never really got into it. Never played Mario Sunshine. Played Odyssey for a cup of coffee on the Switch, but never finished it. Never really got into it. But I'll tell you what I love is those games like on the Wii U, and then they ported it to the Switch. The like super... What do they call it?
Oh, yeah. New Super Mario
Brothers.
New
Super Mario. Love it because it takes the best... Oh, and 3D World. 3D World is a masterpiece.
Like 3D World.
That was on the Wii U, and then I think they ported it to Switch as well. 3D World and New Super Mario Bros. U, those games, like, they exemplify what a Mario game is. They took the best parts of the 2D platformers. The New Super Mario obviously just added a 3D look to a 2D side-scrolling type game. Really fun, but had the same... mechanics, the same fun gameplay, and then Super Mario 3D World again just takes to the next level where now you have a platformer which is like still has the 2D feel to it, but you added 3D in a way that like I think was lacking in 64 and some of those other games that I couldn't get into. It had the fun and the simplicity of the 2D games, but adding in the 3D worlds and really fun stuff. So I'll tell you what, I love that 3D World game. I think I got to like the 100% in the secret world and star level and all that. Great game.
I liked Odyssey a lot. You know what? The Witcher 3 might be my, if we're doing like modern games, that might be my favorite. That has a very Red Dead vibe to me.
Okay. It's That's not one a of hard Brad's game. Favorites.
I just like the story. I like that there's games like Mass Effect, right? That kind of started the whole like, not started, but early morality based, you can make choices and stuff, right? But but it's very thin, like especially now looking back, it's I'm the best guy in the world or I am an evil monster.
I love the Fable games. Are they ever
Knights
gonna make
the Old Republic? They're making one right now.
Like I've been waiting.
It's in development.
It never came out last gen. Like it was 360 and then
they just announced something that like they're like it's a long way off was the last thing they said. But
and like,
but,
let's
you know,
be clear, I'm gonna play it as a good guy. Like, I don't love those games.
Yes.
I like the idea of choice, and then I just want to make the good choices. I don't know.
This is the thing that I think The Witcher did right, and most games don't do. You are always Geralt, and all of the choices you can make will, what he says at least, make sense for him.
Yeah,
like he, because Witchers aren't supposed to. Like their whole creed is that they don't help people without taking money. So if you say, hey, give me some money for what I just did, it doesn't feel like this evil thing. Or like if he doesn't want to help someone or if you don't want to do the quest, he'll say like, I can't get involved in this. It's not like I'll kill you both or whatever.
It's not like Mass Effect where your dialogue choices change the course of the story.
Oh, they do.
They do?
I think they change them more than one of the very first quests you can do. It's very good. Lady's sick and you can go make her there's a person helping her, she's knocked out or whatever, you can make the potion to cure her, but it's a Witcher potion that only Witchers are supposed to take, so it might work, it might not, or you can just leave her to her own thing. So you make the potion, of course, because I'm a good guy. And I'm playing, I'm going on, I'm doing my thing. Hours later, you go into this city and a guy comes running up and he's like, hey, are you the guy that helped that lady? And I'm like, yes, I am. And it's like, hey, man, she is a vegetable now. She's alive, but she's just catatonic. She's nothing there. And he's
very
like,
she turned into a monster, like Resident Evil style, and is now killing people in the city.
No, and that's the thing. There's nothing. That's it. You just find out that it was bad or that every choice you make is...
But
not
if you left her, she would die.
Yes, and he might come up and say, hey, you left her to die, which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, but that kind of sucks. So you can't make a good decision in that case. Like you just...
And there's a lot of situations like that where you can't really make...
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, okay, it changed the dialogue and what happened, but you didn't actually change the outcome. Like, she's...
Well, there's other... I mean, people can die. It can change the ending, yeah. Things like that.
Okay.
I want a game. And again, this is just an introduction, guys. We're going to be so on a track. And you know what? Concise.
I was going to say, these are not going to be two-hour episodes each time. No, this is like a free flow experiment, like just a
they'll be longer usually.
Think this is real spoilers Patreon.
I want a game where refusing a quest is sometimes a good idea. I have never played a game where when someone's like, can you help me do this thing, that there's any benefit gameplay wise to saying no. And I want a game where maybe it's just time limit, like you can't do everything or...
Hold on. This is bringing back a thought. There may be something like this because you're right. So if you have a side quest and the person goes, please help, my daughter is missing, can you go find her? And you say, no. And then you come back 10 hours later, please help, my daughter is missing. There's no good or bad. There's no difference. They wait for you. But there
is
some
game
where it runs out. What is it? I was playing something and I swear...
But even that, right? For me, it's like even if it runs out, you can't take it again. There's never a good reason to say no.
Oh.
You don't like gain anything or like not make some... Sometimes there's faction things, but that's even pretty rare, you know, that like...
Talking about factions, man, that Lord of the Rings game. The one where... Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, Shadow. Yeah.
And then Shadow of War, the sequel, where they came up with that system and then WB copyright or patented that system so no one else can use it in any other game. And like, it's such a great system where you level up and the enemies get harder and all that stuff. And it's like, they're not doing anything with it.
Dude, to me, the best use of that would be a Bully sequel.
Yeah.
Because you can't kill people, right? Like, any game where you can kill people, you have to have some magical... reason for that. But like in Bully, you would just beat them up and then they could always come back. It would totally make sense.
Come back stronger.
Bigger bullies.
There you go. How is that not... I mean, I don't know if it's just the time we're in. Like, I guess you can't really make a game that's about a bully. I don't know.
And would it sell as... I think Rockstar's at a thing where they just can't do anything else, right? Besides...
GTA.
And so, Red Dead, I guess.
Well, yeah, sometimes. Like, GTA is... The GTA thing is wild. I mean, I know this is a whole...
That's true. You're right.
Are we allowed to talk about something else? Are we... Like, can I talk about GTA now?
As long as you don't wrap up what you were just saying, I think that will be fine.
Okay. GTA, right? Like, PS3, 360, PS4, Xbox One, PS5, Xbox Series X. Like... The game's incredible, and like I think they just make trillions of dollars off it. But isn't that weird that we live in a time where you can just not make the next game, and like this thing can live forever? It's a wild concept.
I think that's funny because I'm saying Red Dead because it sold so much. I'm sure it was a big success or whatever, but it must pale in comparison to what the multiplayer of GTA is doing.
Which, and that's, to be clear, the story is fine. It's a cool story, and you know, you got heists and all that good stuff, but I mean, the online is just, it's unbelievable that they're in like chapter 24 of the online story, and they get Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre to come play parts, and like that game has taken on such a massive following. And it's funny because, like, I don't really know anybody that plays it. I don't know anyone that's a religious GTA player, and I don't hear about it. Like, if I pull up Twitter, I go on Facebook, no one's talking about GTA, but there must be hundreds of millions of people continuously buying the shark cards and upgrading their vehicles. Like,
and
it's just,
what even demographic is it? Because I feel like it's not, it's not like it's just like, oh, younger kids play that. Because they... I know what they play to some
Fortnite.
Degree, right?
Like
yeah, they're playing
not,
Fortnite.
Yeah.
They were playing Among Us was a big, or Fall Guys was a big one for a minute. Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, I feel like I have a little bit of an idea of what like a much younger group of people play.
Twitch is how you find out, right? Twitch is how you find out how many people. Okay, so if I go on Twitch right now and I type in Grand Theft Auto 5. There are 113,000 viewers right now. 113,000. This is 11 a.m. Central Time, our time. Just, you know, 100,000 people watching someone else. And that's someone watching. That's not even all the players.
Like, by the way, I'm not saying watching someone else
is bad.
To be derogative to that. I'm saying that if that many people are watching other people play it,
how many people
then
are
the people
playing?
That are playing, because they're all probably playing it, and then, yeah, right.
I think I've got a pretty big revelation for you, though, Matt. So I just said over 110,000 people are watching GTA 5, a game that came out on debuted on PS3, and we're now 2 years into PS5. Fortnite is like clearly one of the biggest games ever, right?
Sure, yeah.
160,000 viewers. GTA V is over 110,000.
Wow. I mean, it shouldn't even be, I mean, not shouldn't, but
yeah, good for
close.
That, but it's like, yeah, why? Why is GTA Online at 110 compared to the most popular game in the world that is like all the kids are playing it and everything? So that is the power. That is why Rockstar's not making new games. They're like, we got a pretty good thing coming out. And like, what if 6 comes out and it sucks?
Well, and they're going to just cannibalize their own. They have to have something.
Right.
Gosh, think of all that progression that people will lose moving over to a new game.
They've got to transfer it, right? Because, so you're right. You have hundreds, if not thousands of hours. You could transfer your character. They just did the thing, not just within the last year or whatever, when they made the PS5 port. You could take your character on PS4 that had 2,000 hours. One time, you could move it on your account to the newer version. Because, they have to realize people have money into this game.
Right.
This is no longer, oh, man, I've got 100 hours on my save file, and now I just bought the PS5 version. I can't transfer my save and, like, get to the story I was at. It's like, no. I have $6,000 into GTA Online. Like, you have to let me transfer it.
But are you even going to... You know what they should do?
What's that?
You start a new character, it's a new game, new city, but if you have a character on 5, that's like your cousin in another city.
Oh, you can pop over.
They'll send you money or something. They'll wire you some money or something.
Or do they keep it? I mean, this probably won't work maybe with all the servers and everything, but what if you could bounce back and forth in GTA 6 online and go to your GTA 5 city and keep your casino?
Oh, that'd be wild. I mean, that would be like...
Right?
The thing, so
like, you've already built up this world, but like, it's 6. You don't want to just have the same, right? They have to give you a reason. So you have two cities. You can go to GTA 5 online, whatever. Is it San Andreas? Whatever the 5 is, you can go there. And then...
It's not San Andreas. What is it?
It's not... Because I thought I thought the map from 5 is San Andreas, or part of it. Is it not?
I don't know why. I can't think of it at all. Like, I haven't... Usually, in your brain, you got like a letter or something, but I don't... Wow, we're game guys? Where's Los Santos?
Los Santos. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking there was a crossover between one of the older games. I don't know. Anyway.
You play as CJ in 5 the whole time.
What?
I'm
no.
I was lying.
Wait a minute. What happened?
It's the same character.
Trevor and Mike and...
No.
No, it's just CJ?
That's the DLC.
Well, listen, Matt, did we finish the train of thought? What were we talking about before I went to GTA 5? I know you told me we have to go back to it, so...
Super Mario. So, that'll be my 5th.
That's your 5th? All right.
That's my 5th, I guess.
All right.
Hmm. Okay.
That's it, right? We can't talk about any other subjects.
It seems like this has been a great introduction to who we are.
Yeah.
Certainly not at all what we're doing here.
Yeah. This is a get to know us, our experience with games. I think you've gotten a whole history of the games we grew up on, what we like to play, all that stuff.
How we rented them.
Yeah.
You tell me. I don't know. I mean, we haven't actually really discussed this at all. I feel like this will be somewhat of a loosey-goosey show, as in... Each ep might be maybe one day we're talking about one game. Maybe one day we're talking about favorite weapons in gaming. Maybe one time we're talking about
combo weapons.
Our favorite combos, our favorite characters. Maybe we're playing an old game. We'll hop around a bunch. It's not like this is a gaming news podcast and that's what we do type of deal.
How about Earthworm Jim?
I liked Earthworm Jim.
Good old Earthworm Jim. A video game character that they spun off into a cartoon series.
I had the toys.
That's how popular Earthworm Jim is. And if you're asking who the hell is Earthworm Jim, it's a valid question, but Earthworm Jim was huge.
And he is getting an exclusive game on the Amico.
No.
Well, I don't
think it's happening,
but you can see a quote demo for it.
Really?
That doesn't, I don't think it's real. Old Tommy's Amico thing
isn't happening, is it? Is it really?
You got some YouTube videos to watch.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Am I right about that, Kevin? That maybe we do it, we'll bop around between different things. There's not a set format.
Here's the deal, Matt. And I want to tell you this, and I want to tell the listeners this. We're a couple of guys that like to play video games. We're throughout different points in our lives. Our video game playing has been maybe our whole day, our whole week, our whole month. Maybe it's been one time late at night that we've been able to squeeze in a couple levels of whatever. It varies. We're not professional game critics. We don't play every new game. We don't collect every retro game. We're just a couple of guys that like games, have always liked games in one way, shape, or form, and we just want to talk about games.
And perhaps, maybe the goal is to make me not hate video games anymore.
Well, that is also true. I actually started this podcast thinking I was going to talk to someone who liked video games.
No.
And so it's interesting that I decided to start a podcast about video games with someone who does not like video games.
Don't care for them.
So we'll see how that goes. So it will be a journey of discovery. We'll laugh. We'll cry. We'll hurl, maybe. I don't know. Just depends.
If you're going to hurl into this.
Exactly. The Mirthmobile. We'll play. We'll set up. You know how people do, like, I put a PS5 in the back of this Volkswagen Passat.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put a PS5 in the back of the Mirthmobile.
Do you want to? We could play the Pimp My Ride game for the next episode.
I have it. I own it. I know exactly where it is. I own the Pimp My Ride game on, I think, Xbox or PS2 or something. Yeah.
Do we say what we're doing for next time? Do we know?
That's a good question. So if you listen to this, if there is a place to comment on it or whatever, maybe throw out some things that you'd like us to do. Obviously, again, it won't be as freeform as this. This is a get-to-know-you episode. But like Matt said, sometimes we'll play a game and talk about it. Sometimes we'll do an interview. Sometimes we'll have guests on that are video game collectors, people that have been, you know, in the industry or around it. We're going to change it all the time. But if there's something that you want to do in particular or hear us talk about, feel free to give a suggestion. But rumor has it, we may be doing a live playthrough of a classic PC game. And I don't know if I want to give away what it is yet, but if you grew up in the era of playing 386 PC games, you may be very familiar with this game.
And then this is where we'd say the thing that we say at the end of every episode. But we don't know what that is yet.
Should that just be our thing that we say? And this is the part where we say that thing that we say at the end of every episode. But we don't know what that thing is yet.
Oh, just right. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I like funny things.
I like it. I like funny things. Well, Matt, I like funny things.
Kevin, I like funny things.
Hey, Matt, until next time, keep gaming.
Oh, that's cool. Game on, gamers.
Game on, brother.
Brother.
Oh, yeah. Snap into a PS Slim.
Stay powered up. Gamers.
Grab your energy. Hey, Matt. Grab your G Fuel and let's pop into another episode of Circle of Wizards.
This is game over, but there's always a continue.
You've been listening to Circle of Wizards. Gather round and circle up.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Cowboys circle up. Wizards, Matt, do too. I seen them do it.
This ain't no rectangle. And this certainly ain't an oval.
This ain't no disco. Ain't no country club.
I don't know that one.
You lost me. Talking head.
Okay. You know, you lost me.
Music. I forgot. I don't have to pretend.
Matt.
I don't have to pretend here.
Hey, relax. Okay. Deep breath. Let your shoulders slump. You don't have to be that character on this show.
Mega Man. Castlevania.
Mega Man. Those are some good ones.
Those are some good ones.
What do you think? All right, we're doing the outro, but we're talking about another game now.
We gotta go.
All right, game on.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.